Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. We got 4 hours here to talk about Tom Brady. And just not the same guy. I mean,
he's really not. Like, he has his moments, but he's got so many weapons around him.
Well,
he has a lot of weapons now. Who wouldn't pay to have these weapons?
Right.
Him?
Well, no. That's why he left. I'm thoroughly convinced that he was fed up with not having. And oh, by the way, how frustrated he was last year. In New England, nobody could separate. He was looking bad, so I'm going to go somewhere where there's a lot of weapons, and I'm going to look good. Yeah, well, here's the problem is throwing the ball down the field. That's the biggest problem.
It's been a problem for a long time. He's been able to hide it. It's one thing to throw in the seams. It's another to attack down the field, and he just doesn't have that anymore. I mean, he's just not real good at that, and frankly, he hasn't. Like, there's a whole sideline. The deep sideline throw, he hasn't really made that in years. And if you used to be able to say, well, he doesn't. I remember when they drafted Aaron Dobson. Well, Aaron Dobson will help bring this out. I haven't really seen it since Randy Moss. And Moss could get open easily. You know, you're just throwing into space. So all you got to do is throw it up with Mike Evans and just trust him to make a play. You got to do.
And he won't give up. That touchdown where he fought his way in, it was very A.J. Brown. Did you see A.J. Brown's this weekend?
Man. A.J. Yeah. Brown is a big, strong dude. Yeah, he ran for about 8 yards.
Yeah, with guys. Him, yeah. And so did Mike Evans yesterday. I mean, just dragging people into the end zone. And that's, you know what? I don't want to go right to the Texans right away, but that's something Deshaun could use, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown or a Mike Evans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, obviously. I mean, that's what he's missing.
Yeah.
Of course, Deshaun did his own A.J. Brown over the week.
He did.
We didn't talk a lot about that, but his willingness to duck his shoulder and crash over – I'm trying to remember who he ran over. Oh, it was Devin McCourty. That was impressive.
Yep.
That was impressive.
Yep.
What Deshaun did.
Yeah. So, that was nice. I don't know in the NFC. I'll tell you this, the Packers are just, I'm sorry, Joel. I don't want to say, but they don't beat good teams. They beat up on the Lambs. And when they get to, when they're playing, you know, better teams, it shows up.
Mm-hmm. Now they did, you know, they played the Colts pretty well there. They got slaughtered by Tampa's defense.
Well, a lot of people were like, why are the Colts a favorite against the – I mean, that was the whole deal all week long. How can the Colts possibly be a favorite against Indianapolis? I'm taking Indy. Guess what? Because the Packers, their defense
– I just don't believe in the Packers. To me, there are teams that you say – yeah, good team. You can't see them in the Super Bowl. I can't see the Packers in the Super Bowl.
The only good team that they beat all year was the second week of the season against the Saints. They beat the Jags. They beat the 49ers. Mm-hmm. They beat the Texans. They beat the Falcons. They beat the Lions. They lost to the Vikings. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Buccaneers. The only good team that they've beaten all season long was the Saints.
Right.
And that was in week two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not so sure about them being, you know, a Super Bowl contender. We'll see. But the NFC, I mean, who is? I mean, I guess the Seahawks with that defense, I guess they're – you got them as your favorite in the NFC?
I can't trust the Seahawks defense. The NFC's tough. I mean – I think you got to look at the Eagles or Cowboys.
Well, the Eagles definitely because they
have good quarterback play from whoever's on their bench, who's the second stringer, Jalen Hurts maybe. No, I mean, to me, it's the Saints. Problem is, I just think the Saints are clearly the best team. They got a good defense. They got a great playmaker in Alvin Kamara. Mike Thomas is back. Emmanuel Sanders is back. Everything about the Saints you like, except that their quarterback had 11 fractured ribs. That's the only slight thing that gives you pause is the 11 fractured ribs.
Yeah, and we'll see how far it takes. I mean, he looked great. Don't get me wrong.
He looked great in the second half.
Yeah.
First half, I was like, this under 173.5 passing yards is easy peasy. He's 6 of 8 for 61 yards with about 4 minutes left in the and then you look up in the second half, like, how did he hit a 230? What the hell happened?
Well, he just targeted him. You know what he did?
Run the ball.
He targeted Michael Thomas all day.
Yeah.
12
I mean,
targets.
Michael Thomas is DeAndre Hopkins with more lip, as they call it.
Well.
More lip.
We, Who, the kids are saying that? More lip?
But he really is. I mean, Michael Thomas is another version of DeAndre Hopkins. They play slightly different, but that's the same thing. They're bigger targets, kind of they're loose. They're loose enough at the top of the routes. They're very physical, contested catches, and they just are good at the craft of being a wide receiver.
I guess
you, really good.
I guess you would have to say the Saints, and if he continues to play well, okay.
You need Drew Brees back and healthy. That's obviously one. This idea that he's missing 2 to 3 games with 11 fractured ribs.
There's no way.
That seems crazy to me.
There's no chance he's
11
back.
Fractured ribs.
With 11 fractured. There's zero chance.
Did a piano land on him? Like, how do you fracture 11 ribs?
Well, dude, when he got up, you knew he was hurt.
Oh, yeah.
He was hurt, and he stood up with the kind of like an old man stand up, like, oh, my God, I can't move this part of my body. And you knew he was hurting.
Have you ever seen those? Have you ever
I didn't
seen
know
those?
11 fractured ribs.
Yeah, it just came out. Drew said, they were saying, oh, it's like 3. And then Drew came out.
I saw yesterday. What I'm saying is I didn't know at the time.
Yeah, Drew came out and said 11. I'm like, 11? And they're saying 2 to 3 weeks. Have you ever seen those videos? I've gotten down a rabbit hole. It's kind of scary with this guy, like Dr. Back's Crack or whatever, where it's a chiropractor video where he's got people there and he just goes, and like they'll be laying there, and all of a sudden he goes, and he cracks their necks and their backs, and he's got all these different cracks.
No, and I've never watched.
And you
crack
hear
you
hear the amount of like, and all I could think of was when Drew Brees hit the ground, it probably sounded like that. It probably sounded like a million cracks. I don't trust. Now I like the talent. Hey, should we start taking the Rams more seriously?
I guess. I mean, they went in last
night.
I feel
like the Rams are a tougher team than the Cardinals. Like, the Rams potentially have more to go further than the Cardinals, I feel like.
Probably. I think the Cardinals are the flavor of the
especially
day.
Especially if Cam, and here's the one guy I would not sleep on, and he's been a non-factor all year, is Cam Akers. Darrell Henderson, Cam Akers, I feel like they've got a little bit more dynamic running back punch than they get credit for. Cam's been a non-factor the whole year, but he has talent. Some of that's got to be just rookie. I think he's maybe gotten in a doghouse somewhere. I like what I've seen from Darrell Henderson.
Well, he was hurt for a little while.
Yeah, he was for a little bit, and then he's just been nothing.
Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm's a grinder. Yeah. Henderson's got he's got some juice. I think Henderson's kind of underrated as a runner. And then, you always have Aaron Donald defensively. Cooper Kupp had a huge game yesterday.
My God, he
looked
good.
Game. Robert Woods on the outside, like. Tyler Higbee is a playmaking tight end. I'm telling you, if Goff plays halfway decent, that's a team that's going to fly way under the radar. Because we're like, well, what about Russell Wilson? What about the Saints? What about nobody in the East? What about Tom Brady? Well, hold on, Aaron Rodgers. And then here's the Rams. And you saw, the Rams have some ability now. They're a different team when Cooper Kupp is healthy. They went in a toilet when he was out last year. Man, Cooper Kupp is a tough check for anybody. Out of that slot. Yep. He is just what I like to call a very precise route runner.
Well, yeah, and he's got deceptive speed. He really does have deceptive speed.
He actually does.
Yeah. If you want to know the truth. He's good player. They did. They looked pretty damn good last night. And that's gonna be a tough out. They may be the best team. They're 7-3 right now. They may be the best team in the NFC.
It's not being talked about at all in the
NFC. Because they're tougher defensively. They're tougher defensively than the Seahawks.
Yes, they are. It's hard not to be.
And with Cooper Kupp, they're explosive. Not explosive, as explosive as the Seahawks, but hey,
they got different ways to beat you.
Yep. I just don't believe in the Packers. Sorry, Joe. I know he's going to come in here.
I'm not sorry,
after.
Joel. I don't believe
as soon
in the Packers.
Come
I'm
in,
not
he's
sorry.
Bitch about you leaving your headphones on. And
yeah,
he's gonna,
I'm not sorry.
And then he's going to bitch at me about not believing in the Packers and their god awful defense. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I do believe the Eagles and they missed an opportunity last night. They were promoting the Eagles and the Seahawks. They missed an opportunity to promote two first-place teams going at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two first-place teams are going to be next Monday Night Football, Philadelphia and Seattle. So that's going to be interesting to see. Anytime it's a battle of two first-place teams, that's going to be a lot of fun. First black officiating crew. All black officiating crew.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When was the first white, all-white officiating crew?
Probably.
Dallas pointing number one. What's that?
sometime in the
20s. Number one?
Game one
of the NFL?
Yeah, I'm sure you had it sometime in even the 2010s.
An all-white officiating crew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Yes. Yeah,
I mean, I think probably.
Absolutely. So. Probably had one last week.
Yeah. I don't think it's that.
I would say you probably had one from, I don't know, the inception of the league until, I don't know, what, 1960, 1970s? What? When did football start?
Let me ask you this.
Football
when is started the last...
in the 20s and the...
When did professional football start?
In the 20s?
I would say from the 20s to about the 60s. You probably had an all-white officiating crew. Every game.
Oh, yeah, you mean nonstop.
Oh, I would imagine.
Oh, I'd say it's into the early 70s.
Okay, let's see. When was the first... Who was the first black official?
No one talks about that. That guy's sitting there like, I'm the Jackie Robinson of officiating.
Right.
And no one ever
gives
me much
no love.
His name
How about
is,
this, Dell?
His name is Burl Toller.
Burl Toller?
It's Tover Toller. They're two different spellings, whatever. Okay. 1965. He served as a head linesman until 1980. So the first black official
was screamed at differently by the head coaches?
1965. What do you mean?
He probably heard
different words than
he probably
other officials?
Hell from the... Coaches, let me ask you this question. Now let me flip the question
to
you.
I would answer it, but we have Jimbo Fisher coming up.
Oh, that's coming up.
You won't answer when the last all-black umpiring crew is in Major League Baseball. No one answers that.
When's the first?
We're waiting on that one. 7-Eleven ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about mybookie.ag, promo code radio. It is the best way to play. My son-in-law called me the other day, and he said, what's the promo code? I want to make sure that he gets... My buddy gets whatever you get.
They're stealing with over 264 with Jared Goff yesterday.
Stealing. And all you have to, listen, if you got insight like that, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. When they have silly stuff like that, you're like, I knew that. Well, that's crazy. This is crazy talk. Not having that line. But sometimes it is. Sometimes there's odd lines, and you get to take advantage of them. Well, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid. That's the most important thing with a bookie, right? If I win, I want to get paid. And that, my friends, is what happens at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Put in the initial deposit, put in promo code radio, and that initial deposit is going to be doubled by mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, your home for the Aggies. Bringing in the head coach of those Texas A&M Fighting Aggs, Jimbo Fisher, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Coach, how you doing?
Good. How you doing,
man? We appreciate you being here. How's your vacation been?
Not much of a vacation, but you know, we got a lot of stuff done and got a couple of days there to kind of recharge the batteries. But mainly just been grinding.
What's the number one worry when your team has had this much time off?
Well, I mean, it's not complacency. It's keeping your edge and keeping your mental focus. And, you know, you go for a couple of weeks saying, I ain't got a game, and you're making sure your practices are intense and you don't lose fundamentals. Because, you know, when you're practicing two things, either a real good habit or a real bad habit. And a lot of times, you know, if you don't have a game there, sometimes your mental lapse went. But I didn't feel that with our guys. We were ones-on-ones all last week, twos-on-twos, and practiced really well and trying to keep that edge.
Coach, first of all, I want to congratulate you. I'm a proud member, a selection committee member and voter for the Joe Moore Awards. And your team, now I had the Big 12, but I was able to throw in a little bit on Texas A&M. Your team was a no-doubter, your offensive line unit, in terms of what you guys have been able to do. I did the write-up for the Joe, a little bit of the write-up for the Joe Moore honor roll. But, you know, you're considered, along with Alabama, Notre Dame, there's some offensive lines. I think Louisville needs a little recognition to be one of the favorites in this year's group, Iowa. So I think the difference, and we talked about it before, but I feel like the way that you guys have run the ball and the way that your quarterback knows you can run the ball and maybe, you know, you guys as play callers has really helped to tighten up Kellen Mond's game this year as well.
Well, I think balance, you know, this balance. People have to worry about two things, running the football and throwing the football. And the other thing is Kellen's legs. I mean, you got Kellen's legs, you got our ability to run it, you got our ability to throw it, and you got our ability then to play action game and the things that come off of it. And we're able to use those pieces right now. And like I said, we're going to need them all down the stretch, that's for sure.
Yep. Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, well, you talk a lot about hitting too, Coach. You know, you like you want to make sure that those guys are
got a thud in practice.
That those guys are ready. And after a couple of weeks off here, now you're going on 3 weeks, three full weeks without playing a football game, and you got limited amount of thud in practice. Is that a concern?
Well, it is, but we know, like I say, we do good on good. We were good on good all last week. We're good on good every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and a little bit on Thursday on one drill. So, I mean, we keep, you know, that fastball look, the different looks, that, you know, you're blocking really good people. And like I say, our defensive line is a really good group of guys. So, I mean, that bothers you, but it really doesn't bother me because I think, you know, we've worked good on good people and really went at it.
Yep. Jimbo Fisher brought to you by Damaris Barbecue here on ESPN 97.5. It's the only place to get your fried turkey, but you got to call in a hurry or go get to the website in a hurry, Damaris.com, DEMERIS.com. So I was in the stadium last year in Baton Rouge, Coach, for last year's game. Is that one you used to, after, as soon as that game ends, you circle on next year's schedule?
Well, you know, people say that. You know, those guys are going, a lot of our guys are going summer back. Listen, LSU is a team that's in the West. We have to be able to play against them. We have to have success against them, so we need to play well. And, you know, when a team beats you like that, you remember it. But at the same time, that's over. That team is different. We got two different teams this year. We have to focus on doing what we got to do to be successful in the game. And that's motivation because they're an SEC West opponent. And I always say, people say, was that revenge? I always think revenge clouds your thinking. Yeah. You know, you can't play that way. I mean, you got to play who you are, what you are right now. But you play their tails off, and you want to beat them, and you want to beat them bad because, one, they're an SEC West. And, two, like I say, they got you last time, so you want to get the upper hand back.
Their defense hadn't been very good this year. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going out on a limb here. They've really struggled at times, Coach. What's the difference this year and last?
You know, I think one thing is if their defense has, but their offense complemented their defense so well last year because they scored every daggone drive. So you had to become one-dimensional. You couldn't stay balanced. You had to do things. And their explosive offense, which they're, you know, they were really good last week on offense. They've been, they had some really good games, but not, you know, last year's game was a record-setting offense. So always people forget, offense always helps defense when the scores of the game change and things like that and how you're doing. But, you know, I look at them up front. Their interior guys are strong. They got edge pass rushers, backers can run. You know, Stingley's as talented as a guy as there is in the country. Rich was his number one corner in the country coming out. They got good safety. I look at the film. That's what I said. I mean, these guys are athletic. They play in space good. They tackle. I mean, people get plays on them at times, but at the same time, they're a very talented group. And we're hoping they don't get it all clicked in this week, that's for sure.
I mean, they lost a ton of guys to the draft. They were so talented that they lost a lot of really good secondary players, linebackers. Their linebacker might be defensive rookie of the year. Defensive lineman, even their defensive tackle opted out, and he's not playing. They lost their ends. They lost Rashard Lawrence. I mean, they lost a ton. But I bring that up because a lot of times by the end of the year, and we're kind of coming up on the end of the year. I mean, it's been disjointed But you are going to see some of those guys, coach, become take that next step, because that happens a lot where you have young guys take the next step once they've got some experience. And that's why I guess you can't take for granted what you saw earlier in the year, that that's going to be the same way later in the year when a team has struggled on one side of the ball or the other.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, when teams compare teams from the beginning to the end, it's apples and oranges. There's no way to compare them because, like you say, the improvements, freshmen aren't freshmen anymore. They get used to playing, and all of a sudden their abilities start coming out. Feel those guys that, you know, they're guys all big, long, athletic, and can run. So we're going to have our hands full, there's no doubt.
Yep. Jimbo Fisher with us on ESPN 97.5. What does it mean to be playing? Like a couple of years ago, did it pay off with recruiting-wise when you beat LSU? Because this is your the SEC team closest proximity. And you, I would imagine you're in the living room with a lot of kids that are deciding between Texas A&M and LSU.
They're always in Texas. We dabble into Louisiana. We're all over the country, and they're a brand name. We're becoming a brand name across the country, which is very exciting too. But you know, you want to keep that home base in Texas and keep those kids there. So anytime you can beat one of the guys in your West and the team that's the closest to you in your league, you know, it's a feather in your cap for as far as recruiting, no doubt.
Is it? Do you see a difference in the kids? Is this a rivalry week?
I mean, it's a rivalry because it's the next game. I mean, I don't know whether you consider it a rivalry. I don't know what it is. I know one thing: it's a very important game. SEC West game against a team that's very good and the defending national champions. So if you're going to be a program that is relevant and like you want to be, you're going to have to play well against these guys. You have to learn to beat these guys. So it's a very important football game, that's for sure.
Do you use – I know my guess is because you're a football coach focused on what's the task at hand. I'm curious if there's ever a desire or ever a thought of using that carrot at the end of the stick about, hey, if you guys win, we've got this opportunity potentially ahead of us if we take care of the business that we have. Or is it just all about the game right in front of you? Because, I mean, you guys are up there pretty high right now, and I just wondered if you use that to keep guys, you know, focused, motivated, and hungry for what could be to come.
Well, here's what I say. I say those are your goals and what your aspirations are, and that's what you want to get to. Like, we always sign on our kids. If you want to get all the way to the top of the ladder, you got to take one step at a time. And which step is more dangerous? Well, the one you slip on. How do you know which one you're going to slip on? You don't. You focus in on that step and make sure you don't slip, and then those goals get there. That's the way I believe in things, because you put clutter in your head, you start to become outcome-oriented. And I don't believe in outcome-oriented. Process. I believe in process orientation. Yeah. I mean, if you take care of your business right now, you get the outcomes you want. And you know that. People say, "Well, that adverse." When you go outcome oriented, yeah, because you're worrying about winning. You can't worry about winning. You got to worry about playing well. You got to worry about taking the right step, putting your hands in the right place, winning your space. And the scoreboard says what you want. When the scoreboard says what you want, you get your goals. And I know that's very simplistic thinking, but I believe that 1,000%.
Almost every coach is seems like almost every coach is a reader or a voracious studier of history. I know a lot of times there's the coaches have this or personal success, or you know, the Norman Vincent Peale stuff. Who are some guys that are you a reader, coach, number one? And number two, which are some books or which are some guys that you've taken a philosophy away from? You took something from their philosophy and put it into your work as a football coach and a leader of men.
You know, I'm not a reader as much as I am a documentary guy, or I will read. I'm not an exclusive reader. And I just retain knowledge and things that go on. But, you know, I've always been the guy that I read a little bit about, people don't give credit for, I think. And, of course, he won 4 Super Bowls. And I, my team had the greatest dynasty there was in ball because they did it in such a short period of time. And I drafted with Chuck Noll. I mean, Noll was a very simplistic guy. So if you do the ordinary things better than anybody else, that's what he is going to win championships, in my opinion. And that was always a famous statement from him. The physicality, see, the thing that always amazed me about their team, their first couple teams were so physical on defense, they ran the ball very rarely through it. The rules changed. Then they became just as good on defense, but they became skilled with swan and stalwart to throw it with great skill and then still run the football and be physical. But, you know, they were a very simplistic team in that they didn't believe in fancy and all the rah-rah and all that. I mean, you got to have emotion. You got to get there. But he was a guy that, you know, you do ordinary things better than anybody else. Those are the things that have how you carry the ball, not turn it over. I mean, all the base things. And the only thing Chuck never got, you know, is due as far as that goes. I mean, of course, I'm a Parcells guy. I mean, I love Parcells' his philosophies on how you build the size, speed of guys, how you do things. And I think Parcells is a guy who I think is the founding father of all the guys that are having a lot of success in college and pro football right now. You got to remember, he's still the only guy to ever take four teams to the playoffs, three of them to the championship game, two of them to Super Bowls. I mean, he won. I mean, the last time Dallas won big was with him. I mean, you know, Parcells and how he looked at things with recruiting and personnel, practice, and the physicality of things. And those are guys that I always look back to. Of course, I had Coach Bowden and Coach Saban. But at the same time, those are two guys that I read a lot about. And probably another guy that was very underrated that I do try to read enough about is Joe Gibbs. I think Gibbs was a very, very underrated guy in how he innovated for football and things. And so those are guys that I kind of reach back to a little bit.
Won Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. You only got to do that. So that's Jimbo Fisher here on ESPN 97.5. The college football playoff poll comes out. The first one comes out tonight. Do you care?
Yeah, I mean, it matters. Yes, it does. It's going to be relevant, and I talk to our kids about it. Listen, we want to put yourself where you're relevant. You matter. But at the end of the day, forget it. You want to be there because that's your ultimate goal. Now, all right, why are they talking about you? Because you have done these things in the process enough. And not start getting worried about the outcomes and where you're at in the poll. That poll will move as you continue to get better. That's your job, and that's why you got to handle it. But you definitely want to be there, but it can't be an overriding factor of anything that goes on.
Nope. Coach, we appreciate it, man. That is great stuff. It's going to be fun to actually watch you guys play again. That's going
to
be...
Yeah, nice to watch you play, too.
Yeah.
Like, again, good game plan. We've got to make sure we got a good team we're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. LSU Saturday night in College Station. That's going to be fun. And that's obviously a nationally televised game. We appreciate you, Coach, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys, so much. Have a great day.
Jimbo Fisher brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. As I mentioned, you got to... You gotta get that. You better hurry though. I think I'm not even sure. Frankie and Yanni might be able to get this thing done. But go to demeris.com. If you don't like fried turkeys, they can roast them and they oven roasted or they got another kind as well. It's just the best turkey that you're gonna have. I'm telling you, they do an unbelievable job and all the sides and everything else.
Right, smoked, fried, roasted, smoked.
Yep, smoked. How do you smoke your turkey, Lance?
Should I, Dell? He said no, I shouldn't. I've never done smoked turkey. I don't mess with. I let the pros do that.
Yeah.
Well, I do consider myself a bit of a pro.
No, we know that.
But
you do.
I don't.
We know that you.
They
do.
The. You know, you have to kind of brine and do all that stuff. And I let Yanni take care of that.
Yeah.
I just don't want him to brine it accidentally in ouzo. That's a problem if you have an ouzo smoked turkey. It's like, what is this faint licorice taste in this?
Yeah.
Oh, it got a little too liquored up. You actually brined it in ouzo.
I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure they keep their ouzo away from the brinding or whatever it is.
The guys at Chastain, they don't do ouzo.
No, they don't.
You can't because it's cars.
No, you're driving. You're not going to drink and drive. That's silly. No. What you are going to do, though, is you're going to get your Expedition. You're going to get your XLT. You're going to get your F-150 on. You're going to get it at Chastain Ford. Just the best damn Ford dealership. Now, it's the number one commercial Ford dealership in the city of Houston. And what does that tell you? Before we started doing these, I can't tell you how many people are like, I never heard of Chastain Ford before this. And it's like, how are they the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston if nobody had heard of them? You know why? It's because businesses trust them. Businesses know that they're going to do it right. They're going to give them the best vehicle. They're going to service the vehicle best. They're going to give them the best price. And if businesses are doing this, and that's all they care about is the bottom line, well, then what about you as a consumer, as a retail consumer? You can trust in these people. I do. I did my vehicle. The first thing they ask, and this is the most important, is where do you need your payments to be? And they're going to get you there. And they're going to do that, and they're going to do it at a price that you're not going to find elsewhere in the city. I'm telling you, they're going to work this deal as best as they can. It's on Homestead, not Hempstead, on 610, just 5 minutes from downtown. And you can shop online. You don't ever have to step in the dealership at ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It is funny. Well, you look at Rick Smith. Rick Smith is a candidate now in Atlanta.
His name's being mentioned.
Yeah.
We'll see how serious it is. But his name's being mentioned. He's doing what he needs to do to get out there. He was on Adam Schefter's podcast, which is a big deal. So, Reggie McKenzie, I saw the four names. I knew three of them. I didn't know one of them. But Rick always said it was a comma, not a period.
Yep.
It was a period in Houston.
Well, yeah, it was a period in Houston. And you know what? If Rick Smith was back here, I wouldn't feel all that. I didn't. Now, when he was here.
I feel much better about Rick being there than what's going on right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, he wasn't very good in the third, fourth, fifth rounds. He just wasn't. But he was
an average GM.
He was great in the first round.
He was above average in the first round, below average in the rounds after that.
Right.
But the first round, there were some good players that were drafted. He talked about how.
Well, we're going to hear it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Dell's pulling it up, and we're gonna hear Rick Smith talking to Adam Schefter. This is about drafting Deshaun Watson and how difficult it was. There's a picture on Twitter how many times have we seen this picture? Rick standing up when the pick is in. Everybody else is sitting down, and it looks like they're not even.
I'm smiling.
There's a couple, one guy. He's the only one smiling. And there's another guy looking up at the screen, but everybody else seems to be busy doing other things.
Let me tell you how that went.
Well, he's going to tell us.
Well, I don't know. Let me just tell you this part, because Rick's not going to say this. Rick is going to say this, but he couldn't get anyone on board.
Well, he's going to say this.
But they, OB was pissy about the whole draft that year,
mm-hmm.
and really barely participated, because he's like, because Rick... So he wasn't even hardly participating in the draft that year. He had started pouting at that time. And that's why Rick took it. That's why I've never given OB credit for that. I've always given Rick credit because I knew how it happened. And so Rick gets credit. If you do something good, you get credit for it. And Rick got credit. And then OB had his bacon saved several times by DW4 throughout his career.
But he even said that
to people in the building. Says,
well, let's hear Rick Smith talk about this. And this is simply amazing, amazing to me. How this happened and why it happened. Go ahead.
I knew that I couldn't sit where we were and get Deshaun. And I had gone to watch him play multiple times, and I was convinced that he could be, you know, the franchise quarterback that we needed. And so I actually spent the day on the phone trying to move up, and I couldn't get a deal done. But right before I went down to the draft room, I made a call to Sashi Brown in Cleveland, and I told him, I said, hey, if my guy's there, I'm gonna come up, and we talked about the compensation, and we agreed what it was. It wasn't hard. It was just the math work. It was next year's one. And so, in the draft room, when we started, getting close to the pick that I was trying to get to, I polled the room and I asked, who would move up and give up. I created a scenario and I couldn't get anybody to bite. So nobody would do it. And sure enough, soon thereafter, Andy comes up to get Patrick Mahomes. And so after that happened, I stood up again and I said, hey, guys, I'm telling you, if you got one that you believe can be your guy, you have to go get him. So then I put the scenario out there about the deal that I had on the table. Nobody knows I've got this deal on the table, but I said, hey, so who would go up to here to get him? And nobody would. I couldn't get any support. And so I sat down and I leaned over to Bill. Bill O'Brien sat beside me in the draft room. And I said to him, I said, Bill, I really believe in this kid. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get him. And, so we had our conversation and after that conversation, he was on board. And so sure enough, when Cleveland got on the clock, I just stood up and I said, hey, boys, sometimes you just got to, you got to go with your gut. And we're going to move up and we're going to take this guy and kind of talk through that conversation. And, obviously everybody's, it's easy to do it. You be excited about it when you don't have to make that choice, Adam. Right?
So that's exactly how I heard it went down, that he had no – somebody who was in that room said no one said anything. This is what I heard. Rick goes, who wants to get a quarterback? This is somebody who was in the room told me that. He goes, who wants to get a quarterback? No one says anything. And he goes, guys, we're going to get a quarterback. If you got something to say, no one said anything. He goes, all right, we're doing this. I also heard – that Rick and Sashi had a deal previously, which you heard, but that Sashi wanted to back out right before the draft or right before that pick, and that Rick browbeat him and said, hey, a deal's a deal. You got to live by your word, yada, yada, yada. Like, Sashi tried to get cold feet at the end of a deal that they already had kind of talked about they were going to make, and that Rick kind of put his feet to the fire and said, hey, and then Sashi gave in and made the deal. He didn't want to go back on his word. So Rick was 100% responsible for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, 100%. But I am amazed that, first of all, this did not happen. Why in the world would not? I jumped off. I'm sitting there with JT watching the draft. I jumped off the couch when I saw that the Texans traded and they were going to get Deshaun Watson. I couldn't have been. Heading up to that, Dell, didn't we? I had said how many times they're going to get Deshaun Watson. They're going to get Deshaun Watson. They're going to get Deshaun Watson.
Does it look like he might fall? Well, I mean,
but why? No.
No one was projecting him in a top 10 pick.
First of all, Mitch Trubisky going second overall
was a blessing.
It was a blessing, but it was an idiotic move. Secondly, Patrick Mahomes with his resume. Okay, I guess. But
Mahomes is a little bit of a surprise.
Mahomes was a big surprise.
I've also heard the Texans were targeting Mahomes too. By the way,
but going into this thing, the top two, were Trubisky and Deshaun. I'm
trying to remember, but yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
Trubisky, Deshaun, and Mahomes, sitting there at 12,
and the Texans in their quarterback situation with Tom Savage as their guy. How in the hell is not everybody in that room standing on the table, pounding the table for Deshaun Watson?
When we were talking about that leading up, when Raheel was still here, RIP to him, RIP Raheel, we not only did we not believe, like when I say we, Raheel and I did not believe the Texans would take a quarterback, we definitely didn't believe they would trade
you
up.
You bet me.
No, we didn't.
Yes, you did.
Do you owe him still?
No, Raheel owes me.
It was like a lunch
or something.
A lunch. He never paid.
Yep.
Well, we need to get him up here.
And good luck
so
with
he
that.
Has to pay.
Yeah, good luck. Does he still work? Raheel and I did not believe the Texans would trade up because that's just not who we believe they were. And it turns out, if not for Rick Smith, it wasn't who they were.
But Rick Smith was the general manager.
Yeah, I know. But that's why I can't believe.
I mean, because I know that Raheel wanted him to do it, but he just didn't believe they would do it.
Right? I didn't believe they would either.
No. And I said, no. The Texans are going to do this. They're going to get Deshaun Watson. They're going to trade up to get Deshaun Watson. And I won the lunch, and Raheel never paid. But how in the world is everybody in that room going, nah, you don't want Deshaun Watson?
So I'll tell
you. When you've got Tom Savage?
I'll tell you. The concern with Deshaun, well, they had to move. If he was there, I think it was a no-brainer. The moving up part is a little more penal. You have to think about it. I think the Cardinals would have taken him if the Texans didn't. It was getting kind of quiet, and so what I found out was OB did like Pat Mahomes a lot. He did like Pat Mahomes a lot. A lot of NFL teams liked Pat Mahomes. What I saw, and I missed on Pat Mahomes, man. I had him as a second rounder. I just gunslinger this, that, and the other. Takes too many chances. Throws off platform. I got too caught up in not what he was capable of doing, but the negative stuff he did because of the team he had around him and stuff like that.
Plus, yeah, the fact that he didn't lead his team to wins.
Right. Now, I didn't see, but people saw it. People saw it, so I give them credit for it. Mm-hmm. With Deshaun, I liked a lot. I love the intangibles and all that, but Deshaun had a tendency sometimes to float balls. His velocity at the combine wasn't good. It was very, very low. And then he had some really bad mistakes where he would stare down, like against Florida State. I couldn't get that out of my head, the Florida State interceptions that I watched. I was at that game, and he would make mistakes like that. But that was also a good learning experience because, A, I did see on tape, when he sat down on throws, he could drive the ball. Like, you saw this last week. Dude, those were drive throws he made. That's just a matter of, do you have the – and he would flash those on tape. So you know he's got the capability of doing it. Does he do it? But the playmaking outweighs. It's like I started thinking about the Houston Astros more and more and more because the playmaking, it's like the home run, like the Crush City Astros. You're okay with some strikeouts as long as you're hitting home runs. And Deshaun is a home run. He is a home run hitter. Like, he hits home runs. So you have to take some of the negative stuff and just say, okay, those are strikeouts. But if he's hitting home runs, that's what matters. And Deshaun hits home runs. I do think that, but it was quiet about Deshaun Watson. So that for them to move up, I try to get word about to Rick that, you know, if you liked the quarterback, if you liked Watson, which I didn't know if he liked him or not, he wasn't going to be there when you drafted. Because I had him falling all the way back in the first round. There was talk that Deshaun Watson might be late first rounder, early second. There wasn't buzz around him about where he would be drafted. The only buzz about quarterbacks, honestly, because remember, it was Deshaun Kizer, Peterman. It was not a great draft except for those three. Those three guys were the ones in consideration. And all the talk was, is Trubisky going to go two? Is he going to go three? Who's a, you know, if you go to San Francisco's talking about moving up to get them, and Chicago got gamed into, Chicago moved up for Mitch Trubisky. I want that to sink in.
Yeah.
They actually gave away an additional pick because they believed San Francisco was going to draft him. It was stupid. I would have been like, good, beat it. Draft him if you need
to. Well, now, yeah. Well, yeah.
But you would not have.
That's a 1 year.
You knew San Francisco was going to draft a defensive lineman, and they did. They drafted Solomon Thomas, but they got gamed into it. But Rick deserves all the credit in the world, and I heard O'Brien was pouty, not part of the process really that much on draft. This is a quarterback. Like, this is, you've got to be involved. But he didn't have control of the roster at that point. It's something he thought was going to happen. And this is an example of how just seeing him on video, right, and hearing the story that he told, that's an example of how there was no alignment. Those two guys were not cohesive. If you're Bill O'Brien, you have got to put away your personal petty stuff. Even if you don't think Rick is a football guy, doesn't spend enough time on tape and all that, I get that. That's viable stuff that he may have a problem with. But when you're working at trying to make the team the best it can be, dude, you got to be engaged with the process. You got to be engaged with your general manager. You need to have a voice in there. And that's an example of how OB was just petty about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in alignment at all with his GM. And that's terrible. You cannot have that for a winning football team. You can't have that kind of Rick's the only one even commenting on Deshaun Watson. What kind of room was that? That's terrible.
Yeah. Man, look at this draft. I've got this draft pulled up. Pretty flipping good. All the Pro Bowlers. And look at the guys that are in this draft.
Is that the Dalvin Cook draft too?
Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Jamal Adams, Myles Garrett.
Alvin Kamara,
Patrick Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun, Marlon Humphreys, Tre'Davious White, T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Buda Baker, Dalvin Cook, Juju, Alvin Kamara, Chris Godwin, Kareem Hunt, Shaquille Griffin, Kenny Galladay, James Conner, Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen. All these are Pro Bowlers. George Kittle is a fifth rounder.
That is a stacked draft.
That is an excellent draft. Excellent draft. Wow. That's all. You don't find, I mean, that, and you've got a, right now, that is the, this draft, is the
16 draft was pretty good too.
Yeah, but
with Zeke Elliott and Bosa. Go look at 16. 16 was a truth too.
Yeah, as far as though, you know, wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks.
Oh, this one did past year?
This one.
Oh, coming at
this draft.
Well, they have two good quarterbacks.
Well, they got the best quarterback in the league out of this draft.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a big deal.
And
the best two running backs in McCaffrey.
The next Aaron Rodgers is in this draft.
The best running backs in Cook and McCaffrey.
But, you know, this year's draft could end up being a special draft, too. You got a lot of really good tackles, a ton of good wide receivers, and then you got Tua, Burrow, and Herbert, which looks like a pretty damn good, you know, triumvirate of quarterbacks. I think this draft may...
746.
Not for the Texans.
We're going to talk a little bit
about
Tua.
Good draft
about Tua on the other side. ESPN had a little conversation about Tua and Herbert. We'll do that on the other side. But first, we're going to talk.
Why are you dabbing?
I'm just excited about talking about Tua with you.
Yeah, clearly.
It just made me dab. The dab is almost.
Yeah. Maybe Tua can introduce the Texans pick in this draft.
That's hateful.
Oh, now it's not so funny.
Okay. Yeah, that's, you know what? That's showboating. Oh. That'll get somebody hit in the back with a pitch.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's taunting. That is taunting. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Tua should come up and say with the whatever pick that
with the Houston Texans pick
the Dolphins, the Dolphins select Jamar Chase. Yes,
yeah. Or we should all just drink Coors Light.
What
and be
if
happy?
Bill O'Brien announces their pick?
Oh
my God! The greatest troll move in history if Bill O'Brien announces the second round pick?
Yeah. You know what I'll do? I'll douse myself with Coors Lights is what I'll do. That's what. Well, I'll probably do that anyway.
Yeah, you got to do
yeah, that. Yeah, probably going to do that anyway. I was just thinking about it. Is how, you know what? It's just, it's so funny. I mean, if anybody got, I mean, I've absolutely branded myself as a Coors Light guy, but it's only because of my love for it. Okay. This is real. Everywhere you go, you're just going to, you know what? Let's throw down a Coors Light. Let's get cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Why would you not? Why would you get any other beer? I mean, honestly, the other beers, like when you drink them, they're kind of gross if you want to know the truth, especially that motor oil that a lot of you like. That's just stupid. So if you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, you're looking for the official beer of everything that you should be doing today, golf, guess what? Coors Light, guess what? It's going to be cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. It's going to be wonderful because it's Coors Light. It's a Coors Light day. It's officially a Coors Light day.
ESPN 975. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 749 ESPN 97.5.
All right. I know you have. I picked the movie theater.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. So, you know, Eric Layden, our friend Eric Layden, is a bit of a germaphobe.
Yeah.
He says... Never, he thinks it's disgusting that anyone would ever use a blanket, one of those blankets that you can get on an airplane or at an iPick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that I guess, you know what? That's why he's going to get that's why he can get, I don't know if he's sickly, but he could be sickly. Sometimes you have to put some germs on you so that your immune system gets stronger.
Yeah. I mean,
if you want to give me a blanket at iPick or any movie theater, I'll probably put it on, and it's probably not, now that I think about it, I probably need to vet the blanket a little bit more, but with the prices iPick charges, I'm assuming that they're doing something to clean the blankets.
Well, I told you the story when we were on the airplane and JT pooped his diaper and we didn't have another one.
John told this story way back when we first started 610. Obviously, JT's older. When we first started 610, Dell, John told this story about, he'll tell the whole thing. And Dick, I just want you to keep this in mind when you're hearing the story. Dickie Rosenfeld, and we're new on the radio. Hey, partner, you can't be talking about changing diapers and poo all over the place. Partner, that's not radio. People trying to have their breakfast, partner.
Well, I think Mattress Mac called him and said, hey, what is this they're talking about?
Hey, somebody is changing a diaper and there's poo and I'm trying to have oatmeal.
Hey, I'm trying to eat oatmeal.
You think it's Mattress Mac?
Mattress Mac called
Mattress him. Mac would... Mattress Mac threatened the Houston Texans on our radio show. Yep. He called into me and John to threaten them if they didn't draft Vince. He was yanking all their money.
Yep.
The Vince thing, the Vince versus Reggie thing, and then you got neither. It got ugly in the city.
No. It was bad. But yeah, JT, and we forgot the bag or something, and JT's got a diaper, I mean, full of poop. We went in the bathroom, I tried to wash them off, but they gave us a blanket to wrap them in. And I was like, I wouldn't use that blanket anymore, but I'm sure the next passengers on that flight. Now, that if Eric Layden's talking about that.
No, he's just talking about anybody.
I've got clothes on, Eric, and I put a blanket over me while I'm watching a movie, how is that in any way, shape, or form going to give you herpes?
That's what I want to know. And here's the other thing. He has been, before COVID, he already would wear like a bandana around his mouth. When he's flying, like he would before COVID, he would have something. I guess he's very concerned about any kind of germs. I told you that as soon as he goes to a hotel, if he's going to stay there for like a week or more, he brings his own sheets. He'll bring his, if he's going to live there,
he's
like over several months or whatever.
Yeah.
He starts off with his own sheets.
Well, if you're going to live there, I guess that for a month. Yeah.
Well, why don't you just sleep on the sheets that we're going to be there? They're going to change. He doesn't let the room cleaner. He didn't let the the housekeepers, they don't get to come into his room. He's like every like once a week. I don't want you in here getting germs around all over the place.
And like,
what is
sweet,
wrong with you?
Germ boy? Yeah. Bubble boy? I'm sure.
There's John Boy and Germ Boy.
I don't know. I could see if you're going to be there. I don't know what people did on these sheets, and I'm putting my face on it. I don't know.
That's actually 100% the truth. Now, the sheets have been washed and clean when they put them on, but people have been all over your room.
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
Right.
Like, it's
kind of
gross. Never
touched a spread.
If somebody, I think it was Jim Jeffries, who was a comedian, once said, if somebody offered you a used mattress, you would say, no, I don't want a used mattress. But you're quick to pay top dollar to sleep on a used mattress in a hotel.
Like everybody.
That is true.
Every
it's
night.
By multiple people.
And you know what happens in hotels, too, man.
What happens?
Well, I don't know. For whatever reason. I mean, I'm a big proponent of hotels. I just like you're on the
careful,
road.
Careful.
I don't know. I think hotels are. I mean, why waste all that money?
No, I agree with you on all that.
Yeah.
I agree with you on all that.
Plus
it's just, it's a filthy place.
Well,
you
make it filthier.
What happened in the 1 minute break that moved this conversation to, hey, we got a question about Tua.
Yeah, well, this is about Tua and how gross he is.
Okay.
So apparently on ESPN, Mike Greenberg asked the question, said that the Dolphins made a huge mistake taking Tua instead of Herbert.
He said he did the same type of thing yesterday, too. He's doing it today. It's his thing for the week, I guess.
Did you really think that before the draft? Tua was supposed to be the number one guy. That Tua didn't go number one was the upset.
Well, when he got hurt and Joe Burrow had a remarkable
run. If he didn't get hurt, going into the season, was it not tanking for Tua?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was tanking for Tua. Now, all of a sudden, they should have taken Justin Herbert before him?
Now, but remember, whether it was smoke or not, right? There was, I don't know if it was ever real, but wasn't there? There was some rumors about Herbert, weren't there?
I believe the Dolphins played that game so they weren't forced to trade up to go get their guy. They just made it seem like they even floated out, maybe we'll take Andrew Thomas if he was available and get a tackle because that was another position of concern. So I think it was all about, hey, we don't want to use
keep
any of our
of
picks to move up, so we're just going to make you think.
Well,
we
let's face it. Number five overall, Justin Herbert was there were so many questions. That's all he could do against Utah was run.
Yeah, Justin Herbert has had he's got the prototype. He's a prototype for all these former GMs that you see on TV or former coaches like Mike Tannenbaum was all over him.
Tannenbaum may have been right.
Well, yeah, who knows? Rex Ryan was a fan. I just think this whole thing is prisoner of the weekend. Yeah, Tua struggled and he got benched, but just a week before they played each other, not against each other, but he was a better quarterback. And the week before that,
yeah, passing judgment on Tua right now. But saying that Herbert's become a good player is not, I don't think it's much of a stretch anymore. I mean, our sample size gets bigger and bigger. Now he's also got second year quarterback syndrome. We'll see how he handles next year. I do think he's got a pretty good offense in terms of
he's got weapons.
He's got a lot of play action stuff. It's harder to get a bead on guys who are play action quarterbacks. But he's going to face the same thing that Lamar Jackson faced, that Deshaun faced, that everyone faces. Herbert next year, people are going to play him a little bit differently. But you don't give up on Tua. And I just wouldn't have benched Tua. I would have let Tua try to work through it mentally. I wouldn't have been a hovering parent. I would have said, you know what? You fell off a bike. Learn to get back on a pedal. Try to win. Pull your head out and win a game.
Same thing happened to him at Bama. Now, he was more injured in that game, but Nick Saban pulled him out and Jalen Hurts came back. So it's happened to him before. We'll see how he responds.
So. But I think, that was to move on.
Well, they're in the playoff chase.
In the playoffs. They're in the playoff chase. I just feel like,
that's the key.
Yeah.
If they weren't in
they probably wouldn't.
Yeah, but in hindsight, wouldn't you have rather Tua came up with a big fourth quarter and...
Well, he has one of those already, so we've seen it happen.
So, I mean, let him try to That's part of the layers of character that a quarterback develops. Let him fail.
Well,
let
it was,
him fail for the game.
Well, it was probably the worst of all scenarios because not
your
only
boy came in and threw a terrible interception that all of us hated.
Well, you had your own issues about the game, but that's I told you yesterday. That's the Ryan Fitzpatrick experience. He'll get you excited for things. That's one of the reasons he's never made the playoffs. That happens. He does stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, we said yesterday Brian Flores is apparently treating the quarterback position like he would any other position. And if you're struggling and you're keeping me from getting a chance to win a game, I'll bench you. And then you'll come back and play next week, which he's already said. Tua will be playing against the Jets. He'll start against the Jets. So now talk about failure. You got benched. How does the quarterback respond? How does the young quarterback respond by getting benched? And we'll see what he does on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Something else I hadn't thought about, John, could also be a situation where he's showing the rest of the team, hey, everyone's accountable.
That's right.
And that's not bad for a young team that
you groom for
championship.
You should treat them like everybody else. And the quarterback is why you have to have kick gloves with the quarterback and treat them like, prima donnas. Hey, you're playing bad? Beat it. You know what? If he was a linebacker playing or a cornerback playing bad, beat it. You know, okay, we're going to put somebody else in to see if they can't. And then you pat him on the back and say, get back out there next week. That's all. And that's what he's doing. You know what? Tua got to grow up. But not that Fitz gave you a better chance to win.
No, it was a one-time thing, and Fitz did everything. Like I said, I keep saying, Fitz did everything he would normally do through in a season, and he did it in a quarter.
Right, right. All right, time to talk about my hair. Del, you're constantly, every morning I come in, it's like Del goes, he goes, hey, man, your hair is looking good today.
I'm not sure. I'm not a fan of this whole, using blankets to watch teach.
Okay.
Football on Thanksgiving. Now I'm talking
I'm just
about your
saying,
hair.
It's sometimes it's a little much, but I'm you know what? We deal with it. So what happens is that honestly, I'm letting it grow out a little bit. My wife really likes it, and my sister-in-law was commenting about it. And here's the deal: is what they never ever commented on before my hair. That before Doc Linville ever. You know why? Because it was bad. It was horrible to look at. And it was rotten. It was mangy. I had a bunch of spots all over my head, and it was just terrible. No one ever said, hey, man, your hair looks – no one. But now it's like, wow, Johnny's got hair. What happened, Johnny boy? Got a little hair? Yeah, got some hair, thanks to Doc Linville. And you can too. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. Process is so simple, and when it's all said and done, it grow in. It takes a while and all of that stuff, and that's just fine and good. But when it's all said and done, you're like, wow, this is awesome. I got hair, and you can have hair, too. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.